My name is Garland Robinson. Our lesson today is going to concern attitudes of a Christian. Webster defines attitude as a mental position in regards to a state or a fact. Our attitude makes a world of difference. We can have a good attitude or a bad attitude. We can have a right or proper attitude or an improper attitude. And at the same time, we may have an attitude that is good in one way but bad in another. We might have an attitude that's good about traveling, but a bad attitude when it comes to traveling in an airplane. I've heard people say that. Well, we need to have a right attitude about everything in life, particularly when it comes to studying the Bible and God's holy word. Well, what should the Christian attitude be toward whatever the Bible would speak about? What about the world? The Christian's attitude toward the world in general is to not be like the world. We read in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 that we're not to be conformed to this world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to live in this world. We can't help that. The only way we can avoid that is to die, go out of this world. So we have to live here. We can't change that. But our attitude toward the world and what the world thinks, the way the world acts, means a great deal. We're not to be fashioned. We're not to shape. We're not to pattern our lives according to things in this world. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, we're not to be fashioned according to the lusts of the world. Well, the world's attitude, the world's pattern is greed and lust and pride. Greed is the idea of looking out for number one. Reach for the gusto. You only go around once in life. And so hoard up to yourselves all that you can. Have no respect for yourself nor anyone else. Satisfy your own desires. Don't hold yourself back. Set up your own standards. Do what you want to do. That's the way of the world. But that's not the way the Bible tells us. That is not the way the Lord was. That's not the way God desires that we do. There were some in the ancient city of Corinth that argued, even some of them, when they learned the truth and obeyed the gospel, they went back into fornication, sexual immorality, and they began to argue like this. Well, God made man. God made our bodies. Sex is a natural response between husband and wife. Therefore, what's wrong with it between those who were not husbands and wives? God would not make junk. So since that is a natural thing, then why not go ahead and satisfy one's desire? But of course, it's condemned in the Scriptures from the very beginning to the very end. Pride also is the way of the world. It's an attitude that wants one to be puffed up and to look at number one. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, though, beginning in verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Now notice what he says. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." That is, we're not to be selfish. We're not to be self-centered. We're not to be looking at our own profit and what we can gain. The Christian attitude is to be helpful. The Christian attitude is to look and see that others prosper and that they are doing well. Pride has always been a problem from the very beginning. In the Old Testament book of Obadiah, it's only one chapter, we read in verse 3 and 4 about the kingdom of Edom. And the Bible says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." The same thing is true now and always will be. God will condemn the pride. Those who lift themselves up will be brought low. In order for you to obey the gospel, you've got to put away pride and greed and lust. Put away the things of the world in order that you might be a humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another attitude that we've got to have against the world is not to love it. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 to 17, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You know what he tells us? This old world is going to pass away. And all of its lust and all of its greed and all of its sorriness, it will all one day pass away. But what will remain is the eternal Word of God. What will remain is righteousness and truth and equity. And that's what God wants us to embrace. If we're going to have a right attitude, we cannot love this world and the things that are in the world. We cannot become a friend to the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says that we're not to become a friend of the world. For if we do, then we become an enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You're either for me or against me. You either hate me or love me." That is the only way the Bible teaches. So the attitude of a Christian, do not become like the world. What's attitude about those who are in the world? Sinners that are in the world. What's their attitude there? Well, for one, we need to seek the salvation of the sinner. The great commission of the Lord said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, 10. Our attitude is that we might seek to teach them the truth and desire that they go to heaven. Our attitude is that we might pray for sinners. Now, we're not praying for them to be blessed in their wickedness. We're not praying for them to be saved without hearing and obeying the gospel. We're praying for them to be receptive to the truth. We're praying that their heart would be softened, that they would believe and ponder the error of their ways and turn their lives around in complete obedience to the gospel plan of salvation. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 says we are to pray for laborers to be sent out into the harvest. We pray for more godly people who will go out and teach into the highways and byways that the people there might learn the truth. Our attitude is that we would rebuke sin and those who are involved in it. We need to rebuke sin and error. In James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, "If any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide or cover a multitude of sins." Now, we love the individual, but we hate the wickedness, the sin in which they're involved. We don't hate people. We hate the wrong, hate the bad, hate the sin they're involved in. The Bible says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. All sinners, those who are involved in sin, part of the main things concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that their error, the sin, the wickedness is to be rebuked. So, what's our attitude toward the world? Don't become a part of it. Though we live in it, don't let it live in you. Don't let it live in us. We must rebuke the sin and the error that exists. But on the other hand, what's our attitude about the Lord? Well, our attitude about Jesus is that we should confess Him. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, the Lord said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before the Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before the Father which is in heaven." The context here is not only to become a Christian, but to live a Christian life. The way we conduct our affairs every day, even after we become Christians, we continue to confess Him by the life that we live. By confessing Christ, we're naturally spreading the gospel. We should preach Christ and not ourselves. That's what Paul said, that he desired to be hid and that Christ would be shining through him. Our attitude is to obey Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. If the Lord sought to obey the will of the Father, then that should be our attitude, that should be our disposition, that should be our manner of life, to obey Christ. Why, the Lord said, call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6 and verse 46. Our attitude is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He died and left us an example that we should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. That he is that perfect example. He is the pattern that we are to look toward and follow after. We can do this by becoming a child of God. In order to become a child of God, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he came into this world and lived among men a perfect life and died innocent on that old rugged cross, that he might shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Unless we believe that, we're going to die in our sins. John 8 and verse 24. Jesus also taught that one must repent of sins. Luke 13 verse 3, again in verse 5, repent or perish. When those on Pentecost desired to know what to do to be saved, they were told to repent and be baptized. Repentance, a change of attitude, a change of life, is essential of being or becoming a Christian and going to heaven. Then one must confess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't confess that God has saved us. We don't confess that for Jesus' sake we've been forgiven, but we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. When we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, the man from Ethiopia said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that good confession. And then one must be immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins. That's what the Lord taught in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Sins are washed away when one is baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Baptism doth also now save us, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Why not obey the gospel? Why not have a right attitude toward the Lord and against the world, that you might live in accordance with the Lord's will, that you might be able to go to heaven when you die? My name is Garland Robinson.